When Brian always asks me to preach when he's gone, after the lightning bolt of fear passes through my body, I usually say, yeah. And so I'm here. I have had this cough and this fatigue. I don't know what's going on with me. I had it since the beginning of the year. So when Brian asked me to preach, I said, yeah, I'll do it, not knowing that I'd still not feel all that well. So I'm going to give it my best shot, and I thank you for your patience with me. I'll read Romans 8, just verse 18 to start us off again. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the honor that I can stand here and preach your word. I pray that you would use it for the edification of the body of Christ, and it would be encouraging, and it would give us a boldness in this present evil world that we live in. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So, as we all know, there are many wars going on right now. Every time I watch a little bit of the news sometime in the morning, and then I always think of, I don't know why, but that Barry McGuire song, Even Destruction, goes through my mind. You know, it's like, man, everything's messed up. Everything is messed up. And we live in this present evil world. So there's a lot of wars going on right now. Right now in this world, there's many as 110 armed conflicts being fought. In any war, there is, of course, lots of casualties resulting in lots of suffering. I want to talk to you today about how we as believers are taught in the Word of God to handle sufferings. Okay. So go to Genesis 3, verse 17. Suffering is a given, isn't it? When the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there, but we ain't there yet. Genesis 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So right out of the chute, sorrow and suffering enters into the world, doesn't it? Because of what? Because of sin, exactly. So go to the last book of your Bible, Revelation, chapter 21. Verse 1. Starting 1. And I saw, this is after the thousand years, okay? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So we got hope, don't we? But during this present time which we live in today, there's trouble. There's trouble and there's pain. Job 5, verse 7 says, man is born of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Anybody can relate? couple of you. Okay, everybody, I'm sure. In the big scope of things, we are not here for very long, but nonetheless, there will be trouble. Job 14:1 says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. So there's a war going on. Let's go to Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the war we have as believers, it's an invisible war. We can't see what's going on out there. There's a whole other realm out there. And our weapons of warfare are not carnal. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, everybody got it? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. So there's lots of things in this world that they want to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. All right, and we're bombarded by that all the time, ain't we, through media, through the course of things in the course of this world. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. I've been accused of going to a lot of scripture when I preach, but I don't really know any other way to do it. So, 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. This charge I commit thee, son Timothy. This is Paul talking to Timothy. According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightst war a good warfare. So there we're in a warfare, and Paul is telling Timothy, warning him that this is the reality of the thing. Okay, let's flip over to 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So there's afflictions of the gospel. Does that sound fun? It don't sound fun. So it's according to the power of God. That's good news, and I'm going to talk about that more in a bit, okay? 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Let's flip over a page, probably. Paul tells Timothy. Remember, Paul's in prison at this point. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So it's a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 through 5. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So there's hardness involved, which means hardness, you know. Tough times. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So we got talks of soldiers here, warring and enduring hardness. Go to chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. Paul tells Timothy, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. There it is again. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew he was going to get his head cut off soon. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So, again, endure afflictions, fighting a good fight. Is this just for Timothy? No, this is for the entire body of Christ. So what's all this talk about war and affliction? Why can't we be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease? You know, I thought God was a God of peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I got to ask you today and the people out there, and I thank you for tuning in. Do you have peace with God today? Do you know that if you died today, that you would be in heaven? And what are you basing that on? Okay. At one point, we were all sinners. We were all hell-bound and hell-deserving. Something changed our course. Go to Ephesians 2 for a minute. So at one time we were on the other side, we were on the other team, we were on the other side of this war. Whether we knew it or not, you know, I was for 28 years before I trusted Christ. I was in the devil's camp, you know. And I didn't really even know it. I think probably all of you can probably think, yeah, I can kind of relate to that, you know. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our way of life, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of God. I mean, the children of wrath. We were the children of wrath, even as others. Were we in a bad place? We were in a bad place. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Go to verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So eternal life is it's a free gift. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gives us a choice. God never forces himself on anybody. He gives us we are created in the image of God. And being created in the image of God, since God is love, and love demands a choice, God gives us a choice. And God does not force his love on anybody. That would be rape, spiritual rape. So he freely offers his gift to each and every one of us by faith in what he did for us at that cross. His blood paid for all our sins. He was buried for 3 days. And the third day he rose from the dead, proving that he paid for the sins of all the world. If there was not one sin that he didn't pay for, he never could have came out of that tomb because death would have held him. But he paid for them all. It doesn't mean you're automatically forgiven. It means that he paid for them. Now, if you want to be, if you want your sins forgiven, you have to trust the one that paid for all your sins at the cross. And when you do that, you become his child. And you can, and nothing can ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You are sealed. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You couldn't get out of it if you wanted to. That's a cool thing. So, I just wanted to make that clear. Romans 4, 5 says, you can go there if you want. Romans 4, verse 5. It says, now to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. That was me, and that was you. His faith is accounted for righteousness. Your faith. Just believe in what God said about his son. It's as simple as that. Okay. So for the one who never received God's free gift, suffering is just suffering. And it'll get much worse after you die. For the saved ones, the ones who have received God's free gift of eternal life, God can and will use our temporal suffering for our eternal good, and the best is yet to come. There's three types of suffering in the Bible. There's first one. Is the sufferings of this present time. All right. Second one This is one. This is the one that we usually suffer, at least I do, mostly. Sufferings of our own stupidity. That makes up the majority of them, I'm thinking. All right. And there's number three. And it is the sufferings of Christ. If you're in the body of Christ, you will experience those. Let's take a quick minute. Take a quick look at number two. Galatians 6, verse 7 says that we reap what we sow. For whatsoever a man soweth, yet shall he also reap. Okay. I think David Reed was here. He summed it up and said, "You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes." Remember that? That's so true. And this makes up a lot of our bad decisions. I mean, if you have a fifth of whiskey every night or whatever, and your life gets all involved in drugs, and you're not taking care of yourself, you'll probably die at an early age, and it's going to cause you a lot of suffering. All right. But one thing good about that suffering of our own stupidity, sometimes it leads us to Christ, doesn't it? It did me. It did me. Okay. Sometimes we choose painful. We get painful results from painful decisions, and that pain can lead. And God can use that. He doesn't bring it on us, but he can use it, and he does. So So the biggest troublemaker we ever have looks at us in the mirror every morning, right? And we have the sufferings, the number one, the sufferings of this present time. Let's look at that a little bit. Romans 8, 18, the verse that I read earlier. Excuse me. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's vital to understand the issues of suffering according to the scriptures rightly divided. God in time past, he made promises to Israel about health and wealth that he did not make to the body of Christ. It go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and thy mercy, and the mercy which he swore unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, and increase thy kine, and thy flocks of thy sheep, and in the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sicknesses, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. So when God was dealing with the nation Israel in time past, it was a different deal. They were under the law system. They were under the if-then performance-based system. If you go to Deuteronomy 28, I'm not going to go there right now for the sake of time, but it gives you the if-then. God says, if you do this, I'm gonna bless you. You know, you'll be able to kick your enemy's butt because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you plenty of food and all these things. But if you don't, I'm going to raise up enemies to come against you. I'm going to stop the rain, and it's not going to go well, okay? That's not our program for today. But God does have doctrine for us today to handle these sufferings of this present time. Okay. Now I want to talk about the sufferings for Christ's sake. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know? Paul had gotten to a point, and he suffered a lot for the sake of Christ. When he got saved, God told him in Acts 9, he says, I will show him all the things he must suffer for my sake. You know? And Paul did suffer a lot for the sake of Christ. And the more we take a stand for truth, the more we make clear the gospel, the more we open our mouths and share it, we're going to be a target. That's just the way it is. But it's okay. Paul says he suffered trouble as an evildoer. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. They might accuse you of being an evildoer. What do you mean you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing? That's too easy. That's too easy. You know, that's greasy grace. That's, you know, and they'll mock us. And they'll mock us for believing that this Bible is God's word preserved for us today. And they'll mock us for that. But it doesn't matter, okay? So 2 Timothy 2, is that what I said, verse 8? Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God was not bound, okay? So Paul was in prison, and they called him an evildoer, and he was doing the Lord's work, wasn't he? So why was Paul in prison? Go to Colossians 4. Give you some more verses on that. Colossians 4, verse 3. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So Paul was in prison for speaking the mystery of Christ, for teaching and preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Go back to Ephesians 6, verse 19. Ephesians 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel of the grace of God. He was in prison for preaching the message of what God's doing today and the mystery of the body of Christ. And he was praying for boldness. Paul's gospel and how he preached Christ today was a mystery. It was a secret. It was not made known. It was hidden God. Go to Ephesians 3, verse 5. It was that you're in Ephesians there. I'm not going to teach the whole chart because that'd be a whole other direction, which I tend to do. So Ephesians 3, verse 5. Well, let's start with verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote before in few words, where when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So what God's doing today, at the very pinnacle of man's rebellion, in Acts 7, God stopped that prophetic clock. The next thing that was going to happen was God's wrath was going to be poured out. God in his mercy dispensed not his wrath, but he dispensed his grace. He gave it to the Apostle Paul to give it to us. That today God is building the body of Christ. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. That we are all saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Apart from the law, apart from water baptism, apart from all that stuff that was given to the nation Israel, okay? And Satan hated that. He hated that. He wants to shut down that message. That message made a fool out of Satan. So he's trying to shut it down, okay? Oh, okay, let's see. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So Paul prays that he may open his mouth with boldness to get that message out. Okay. 1 Timothy 6, verse 18. That they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Willing to communicate. That's all God's asked us to do, is just to be willing, just to be his vessels, willing to communicate. Is it easy to do? Nope, it's not. So number three, the sufferings of Christ. Well, this one here, the sufferings for this present time, we can't avoid these things, can we? We just can't. I mean, we're all gonna get sick eventually, and we're all sagging and bagging and heading for the grave, right? And sooner or later, that's gonna happen. Should the Lord tarry, there's gonna be accidents. There's gonna be people that, you know, in their own stupid decisions affect us. So we can't avoid these things. Number two, can we avoid these? We can avoid these things. We can just stop making stupid decisions, all right? Number three, the sufferings of Christ, we can avoid these too, but we shouldn't want to. That's better, yeah. It was bull in my body. You probably saw that, yeah. The sufferings of Christ, we can choose to avoid these by keeping our mouth shut, okay? But we shouldn't want to, because God wants to use, and God can use those sufferings for his glory. Let me see. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Is the world going to love us for telling them that they're sinners? They're not. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Being defamed, we entreat. Entreat is there like we still beseech them to hear the truth. We are made as the filth of the world. And are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Offscouring, what does that remind you of? You know, when you do dishes and you get all that crud and you don't even really want to touch it, and down the drain it goes. That Paul says we're made of the filth of this world and the offscouring of all things in the world's eyes. First Thessalonians chapter 2. But even after that we had suffered before, we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much what? With much contention. Okay. So Satan wants us to shut us down, you know. And he wants to muddle up the gospel message and not make it clear that it's by grace through faith plus nothing. Okay, if he doesn't stop you from doing that, he will try to discourage you by other people, and you get so discouraged you just want to say, well, who's listening anyway? I'm just going to give up. I'm going to go fishing, you know. I've been there sometimes. and then if you say, well, I ain't going to give up, I'm just going to keep going, he'll try to discredit your name, and he'll use other people to do that. He's very tenacious, okay? Let me see. So all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. That's a given. But Paul, he's our pattern for handling the sufferings. Go to Philippians 1, 29 through 30. Paul talks about a gift here. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So the Philippians, they saw what was going on with Paul. And Paul says, you saw that same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. They're experiencing that persecution as well. Okay. So again, we want to avoid these sufferings for Christ's sake. If we want to avoid these sufferings for Christ's sake, we can, but we shouldn't want to. Does God give us a doctrine to handle these sufferings? Let's back up a bit and look at Romans 8, 17. And if children, let's start with 16. Let's start with 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So our inheritance is not conditional on suffering for Christ. The if here is used in the sense of logic or argument, but not of condition or doubt. It's like the if over there in Colossians 3, verse 1. Let's go there quick a minute. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. So that it's the same like that if there. If you, it's not if maybe you're risen with Christ, maybe you're not. You're already risen with Christ. It's like since then you are already risen with Christ, okay? So in Romans 8, 17, the if there is... We're all gonna experience these. If you're in the body of Christ, we're all experiencing that to some degree. Okay? To some degree. All believers suffer with Christ in this present time. Every member of the body of Christ has an inheritance. Colossians 1, verse 12. Let's go there a minute. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we're already made partakers of the inheritances of the saints in light. And that blows my mind that we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. How much of the universe does God own? All of it. And someday we're gonna be reigning with him in heavenly places. And that's a good hope to get us through whatever we're going through, isn't it? That you know what? There's a whole lot better stuff up there, you know. Let the devil shoot his arrows. Let people say what they want. This is just temporary light affliction compared to the glory that's going to be waiting for us. You know, I can't wait. I can't wait. You know. So Romans 8:18 through 39 is our tranquilizer, so to speak. You know, when we're going through turmoil and, you know, whatever you're going through, people lose their spouses, they lose their children. I mean, you have cancer, whatever, and your soul goes through this turmoil. And where do we run? And God says you can run to me. I can give you peace. The God of all comfort can comfort us. Okay, and our so if you go to Romans 8, let's go back there again. Let's see. Let's start with 22. Romans 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, which is, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. So we're saved by hope. Well, you say, well, I thought we were saved by grace through faith plus nothing. We are. It's not talking here about salvation of your soul. It's talking about salvation, deliverance from distress, from despair, from discouragement, and in any other D word you can think of, all right? God says you can be delivered from that. And this is not something we do in our own power, but our loving God, he quickens the truth of his word in our spirit, thus giving comfort to our souls. Philippians 4 talks about a peace that passes understanding. Do we understand when all this happens? When you read his word sometime, you're struggling with something, and you read his word, and his word just kind of, all of a sudden you go, you have that peace about you because you believe it. And you see things in their eternal perspective, you know. And that gives me peace. And that's God's design to give us peace. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 49 and 50. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. It's his word that causes us to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickeneth me. It's his word that does that. His word is living. It's alive. Psalm 94, verse 19. There's so many good verses in the Psalms about God's comfort. It's not all about that, but it's a lot. Psalm 94, verse 19. Oh, this is one of my favorite ones. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. You know, we can have all these different thoughts coming at us. We're driving in the car or something, you know, and all these different thoughts are coming at us left and right. And it can be very confusing and cause a lot of turmoil. But in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And you're going to find God's comfort in where? In his word. In his word. Again, I'll go to Romans 15, verse 13, where we see that it is a supernatural kind of a thing. All the lost in this world, the people that don't have the Spirit of God living in them, can they experience the comfort of God? No, they can't. Romans 15, verse 13, now the God of hope, he's the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of what? Of the Holy Ghost. So God wants us, the answer to despair is and depression is hope. Say, man cannot live without hope. We got, you know, but we have a sure hope. We have a sure hope. Second Timothy 1, verse 18. Again, it's according to his power. That's not the right one. I wonder if it's 1 Timothy 1:18. No. Well, we'll have to skip that one. I'm sorry. Romans 16:25. Speaking of God's power. Now to him that is a power to establish you, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So we see that it's God's power that establishes us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we going to the wisdom of men is not a good idea, but to the power of God. And the world runs, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I'll go to Ephesians 3, verse 16 through 21. Okay, Ephesians 3, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit. It's by God's spirit that lives in you, that quickeneth his word. In the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's God's power that works in us as we allow his power to work in us to give us peace in the middle of sufferings, okay? Psalms 147, verse 5. Great is our God, and of great, what? Great power. His understanding is infinite. Compare that with Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3. So God's understanding is infinite. He knows the beginning from the end of our lives, of the whole world. He's not trapped in time like we are, so he can see everything. He can see everything. And doesn't it make sense just to trust a God that can see, can know, he knows the beginning from the end? And so Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Our own understanding is finite, isn't it? Psalms 147 says his understanding is infinite. It makes the most sense just to trust in him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He wants us to come to him in everything, okay? Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Paul gives us straight up instructions for how to handle the sufferings. Be careful for nothing. Be careful there means be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What's he leaving out there when he says keeps your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus? Does he promise to keep our body free from disease? You don't. He talks about your hearts and minds. That's what's going on today. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So God wants us to think on these good things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So those of us that have peace with God by believing the gospel, we can have the peace of God by choosing to think God's thoughts, choosing to think how God sees things in the midst of this war, okay? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is one of my favorite chapters. The whole book of 2 Corinthians deals with the sufferings of this present time and how to handle them. So if you ever, it's probably one of my favorite books. Maybe that's why, I don't know. But there's a lot of doctrine in there how to handle life. Paul says in verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we are weak. In ourselves, we are weak. But Paul says, when we are weak, God, he is made strong, you know. He wants us to rest and trust in him. It says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Can we avoid trouble? Can we avoid distress, being distressed about it? We can, by applying the word of God. We are perplexed. Can we avoid being perplexed? Just look at the politicians running for office. Is anybody else perplexed? But not in this. But so we can't avoid being perplexed, but not in despair. Can we avoid despair? We can. Persecuted. Verse 9. Persecuted. Can we avoid being persecuted? No, we can't. We can't. We can't choose what other people do. But not forsaken. Can we avoid being forsaken? God has said, I will never forsake you nor leave you. He's never going to leave us. Okay, so we don't have to think we're forsaken, because nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Cast down. Can we avoid being cast down? I mean, life's gonna hit us, and we're going to be affected by it, and we're going to be bummed about it, all right? But not, does it have to destroy us? It does not have to destroy us. always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So Galatians 2:20 says, we are crucified with Christ. And it's no longer us that live, but Christ that lives in us. And the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are to live by faith. Just as we receive Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. How did we receive Christ? By faith. And that's how God expects us to walk, by faith. It's really that simple. And so since we're in 2 Corinthians, let's go to verse 16. If you notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it starts out with, we faint not. Okay? And it ends with verse 16, for which cause we faint not. So the whole chapter is talking about you don't have to faint in the midst of the sufferings at this present time. All right? For this cause we faint not, verse 16. But though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How is our inward man renewed day by day? The word of God. Feeding that inward man by the word of God. And it says day by day. Every day is new. Every day is new, and every day He expects us to be in His Word. For our light affliction, Paul calls it light affliction. If you read in chapter 11, all the stuff he went through, he was beaten with rods 3 times, and he was whipped. He was in the, every time a boat sank, he was on it, it seemed like, and you know he suffered nakedness and peril and all those things. But he called it light affliction because he saw the eternal perspective of the whole thing. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So the sufferings we go through right now, the sufferings that we have for Christ, God says, I can use that. And if you're faithful and walk through it, if you walk through it by faith and don't go to the world for comfort, and you run to me, you know, I think of that song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. He just wants us to come. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to come to Him. Okay? That's where we find our comfort. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, they're just temporary. But the things which are not seen, those are the eternal things. Actually going to be done on time, I think, today, which is kind of a miracle. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter is talking to the little flock. He's talking to the circumcision crowd. But there's also applications in the book, in his writings that we can apply to us today. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Now they were going to be in the great tribulation. The great tribulation is still to come. We have been the body of Christ will not go through that, but we still have the tribulations of this present time. And I think this is a good application. Okay, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. See, there it is. That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of us suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody. He puts busybody in there with thief and murderers. That's kind of something, huh? In other man's affairs. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So how do we glorify God in our sufferings? Like I said before, it's by faith. It's by choosing to live our lives according to godly principles, according to what he wants us to do. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. So we do all this according to the power of God, the Spirit of God that lives in us. Second Timothy 3, verse 5, Paul talks about the last days. I'll start with one. This know also that in the last days perilous, I think this is the last days of the church, the body of Christ, okay? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemies, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. They deny the power of God to help them in their lives. They deny the power of God to save them. For this, verse 6, for this sort they are which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. God says in his word that he wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The enemy wants all men to, he keeps the gospel hid from all men and doesn't want them to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So instead of people running to the Lord for the answers, instead of the world running to the Lord for the answers, instead of taking the tranquilizer of Romans 8, they might take a pill, all right? And they go to a counselor and say, okay, you need this. This will calm you. And it might for a while, but what God wants to calm is your soul, and he does that by the Spirit. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword divider between the soul and the spirit. He wants to show us that we don't have to be in turmoil with what our soul's producing, but we can choose to believe on what the Spirit of God says. And we get that by believing the Word of God, okay? In Proverbs 8:14, God says, counsel is mine, saith the Lord, you know. So we can go, people run to counselors. I did a little bit of research on it. It says 65 million Americans are currently taking prescribed meds for mental health. 65 million Americans. That's one in five. That's one in five. These drugs are now the largest selling drugs, $14.6 billion annually in revenues. It's a big business, okay? I thought it was, and this came up too, I thought it was kind of an odd fact about Utah. Utah, it was double. It was double the amount. I'm thinking, well, I guess Mormonism don't work so good, huh? Second Corinthians 1, verse 12. Almost done. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. So we have a choice. God gives us a choice. Do we want to run to him or do we want to run to the world? Second Corinthians 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. There's the contrast right there, okay? We can choose fleshly wisdom, or we can choose to walk in grace, by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. First Corinthians chapter 3. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Proverbs 60, verse 1, verse 11 says that the help of man is vain. Proverbs 2, 6, and 7 said, the Lord gives wisdom out of his mouth, out of his mouth. How does God speak to us today? Are we going to hear his voice? He speaks to us through his word. Yeah. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler. He's a shield. It's a shield to protect us from all the despair, the discouragement, the depression that this world will throw at us. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Proverbs 2, 6, and 7. Okay. So we are blessed to have the Word of God. Read it often. Treasure it. Believe it. Communicate it. So while the heralders of this worldly wisdom continued to darken counsel by words without knowledge, we can draw near to the one who has the words of eternal life. Remember, Peter said, where shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And we can rejoice in his word as one that finds great spoil, knowing that the entrance of God's word gives light and understanding unto the simple. There's an old song. I'm just going to read this old song, then I'm going to close. Have you ever heard the song, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Sylvia has. It's written in 1700s by Isaac Watts. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer, though they die. They see the triumph from afar by faith's discerning eye. When that illustrious day shall rise and all thy armies shine, in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it works effectually on them that believe it. Help us to study it, to rely on it, trust it, and to share it. In Christ's name, amen.